Okay.
But we were learning right now.
We were talking about the Isser of Shemosh B'Ilan on Shabbos, that the Chazal goes, you're not allowed to use the Ilan to Totsev, because you might pick a fruit, or, you know, it sounds like it mainly goes because of fruit, because you might pick something off the Ilan. Now, there's a bunch of, there's two main questions that come up that are scattered throughout the Siman, which is what's exactly the Geder of Tashmish, what's considered using, what's not considered using, as well as the issue of, you know, what's considered an Ilan. So if we just start again from Sif Aleph, Ein Olin B'Ilan, Bein Lach, Bein Yavish. So the first issue is, what about an Ilan, what about an Ilan Yavish? So an Ilan Yavish, there seems to be a day in the Gemara that is, we mentioned this, that's Mako. The, says it's a dry Ilan, and there's no fruits, and there's no twigs on it that are going to break off. So it's, there's no way this could be confused, this could lead you to actually pick something off a live Ilan. And it's the winter, when, sorry, it's the summer, it's the, no, and it's the Yosef Shabbat, when there's, it's the summer, when it's clear, the difference, you know, a dry Ilan, a dead Ilan, and a live Ilan, so it's obvious, it looks like you're going up a dead Ilan, you're not doing anything that would lead you to pick off a live Ilan, so the Gemara is Mako, except for Rav, who goes in a certain place. But the Shulchan Aruch is Machmir here, that they just made a low plug on all Ilanos, because when Rav made his Zera in that certain place, he found a big Gadar Bogeder. The Riff and the Rambam assume that that applies to us as well, that Rav just made a simple rule, don't use any Ilanos, then forget all the complicated details. The Mishabur brings down that it's not so Pashad out of Paskin, but the Mishabur's Masopik brings out two Deyas, but at least the Shulchan Aruch's Deya is that, like Rav, at a later stage, Rav just says, Asar Oli Lano is much simpler, but other Rishonim hold, like the actual Gemara says, Medina, that there's a slight heter, but that's also, it's very Lamaisa. It's very unlikely to come up. The next thing the Shulchan discussed, Ein Olam B'Ilam V'Ein Niplin Bo V'Ein Mishtamshin V'Mchuber L'Karka Klal Gzeir Shemiyala V'Yitlosh. So what is Ein Mishtamshin V'Mchuber L'Karka Klal? What's exactly included in Mechubar Lekarka? So the Ramah says at the end of this Se'if that this is only an Ilan Kayotzra, Volkino, Arak, and Kiyerek, Motor Lishtamish, Memafish, and Mechubar Lekarka, then also Lishtamish, Bi Yerek. So what do we have here? Aser, we have one, the issue of Yavish, She'ein Bo Peros. The Kisman, the Mosachama, we saw that was a Machloket. Then the issue is, what about a Yerek?
So the Ramah says that this only applies to trees, but a flexible reeds that are not hard, that are more like vegetables than trees, are mutter. So the Gzeira was not on all plants, the Gzeira was only on trees and tree-like objects. The Mechaber says the same thing in Siman Shin Yud Beis Seif Vav, when the Mechaber talks about using asavim for hygiene after going to the bathroom. Mechaber says, and the truth is, you could just say that the matter only surim drabanan for these sakes. But that's not what the Mechaber says. The Mechaber says, "Mishamishtamish b'mechaber leka, it's no issue to use grass. Lo amar el v'ilan of a lo b'yerek." So the issue of using grass only applies to trees and not to vegetables, and grass like vegetables, not trees. So the Mechaber, Siman Shin Yud Beis Seif Vav, says the same thing as the Ramah here, that it the Isser only applies to Ilan and not to Yerek. Where did they get that from? It's a Mefurish, I mean, not in this language, but Rav Nachman says it in Erev and Daf Lamed Daled and Beis. He says, Kan v'uzurdin, kam she'enon uzurdin. There's different kinds of, it's a bit of a focus what that means, but there's different kinds of reeds, and you know, some of them are big and strong like trees, are usher.
some of them are just flexible and small like vegetables, and they are mutter. And that is clearly the mainstream opinion. That's he gets that from the Hagos Ashri, the Mishaburu Pratap, which also holds that way, the Machaber holds that way, the Ramah holds that way, the Eliyarava holds that way, Tosef Shabbos holds that way, Chayy Adon, the Mishaburu quotes all these people. And that is the Psak of the Mishaburu. We pass it, it's mutter lishtamesh b'yerek. The dissenting data is the Taz here. The Taz brings from the Taz and the Bach bring from the Rush that says really that's one day of Rav Nachman, but Ravina, this is a bit of a chiddush. You know, Rav Nachman says something mefurish. Hey, no one argues with him straight out mefurish right in that line of the Gemara. But the Taz and the Bach, based on the Rush, say that Ravina argues, and Ravina's a Basroi, he's a leader Amor, we should always hold like him. Even though he doesn't argue on that line, he argues ten lines up. But they hold that all mechubers usser, and after all, the lashon of the Rambam, which is the mechaber here, ein mishtamshin b'mechuber l'karka klal, seems to support that. So the language of the Rambam seems to support the Bach, the Taz, the Rush, that they made the gzera on all mechuber, not just on ilanos. Lemaisa, it's a machlokus, but the majority opinion seems to be on the side of the Mekilin here. And that's what Mishabur says. Mishabur says, no problem, we are Mekil. Everyone agrees you can walk on grass. That's not really using it in a normal way. But we are Mekil, you can even mamish use grass or vegetables or flexible reeds, etc. We pass Mekula, yes?
What would the Taz do with the Gemara and with the Shulchan Aruch and
Shem Yudeis? Yeah, it's funny, because the Taz sounds like he wants to say, oh, the Shulchan Aruch sounds like me, and Mishtam Shem B'mchover Klal. Right? That's what the Taz is like trying to convince us that he has the Shulchan Aruch and the cause of Shulchan Aruch, Mishav Shem Chover, Memei Lamashba, Filu Yerek. So he doesn't bother to point out in quite so many words that it's a Mefurish Mechaber earlier. That's Mekel. I guess he would say, look, the language of the Mechaber here, which is from the Rambam, is still Lahachmer. So even if the Mechaber itself is Mekel, still the Rambam is Machmer. I guess he's really, Lachor, he's really trying to bring a right from the Rambam, not the Mechaber. Really? I thought a low time one gahach Hagos Ashri. The Hagos Ashri is going like Rav Nachman. But, no, Ashri. Ashri is the Rush. He's saying the Hagos Ashri and Hachami is Mekel. But the Rush is Machmir. Right, the Ashri is the Rush. Okay, that's what he was based on. His Makan Rishonim was the Rush. Lemaisa, there are two exceptions, though.
Right, so we have Taz versus the Machaber, Ramah, Mishnah Brura. We pass it's Mutter, except we do have some exceptions.
Now this first exception is against the Mishnah Brura brings down. The first exception is not Rashi's Chan in the Sogya. Rashi's Chan in the Sogya is that the same Uzrin, the same reeds, when they're young are Yerek and Mutter, when they get old, become a tree in our usher. But the you look in the Ritva there in the Sugi, he says no. The Gemara means Mechalik that a young flexible reed that's going to grow into a hard tree like substance is usher, because it will end up being a tree, while a reed that's going to stay a big piece of grass that's going to stay soft and flexible and small is mutter. So the Mishabur is Machalik like that. The Mishabur says if it's usher, lehachos, it's usher. Anything which will become a tree, even though right now it looks like a vegetable, it's considered in the category halachli of an Elon, because it's just a young Elon, but it's considered in the category of an Elon, which is very logical. The Mishnah Berurah also says, coming from a totally different angle, this is coming from one shot in the Gemara, from the Ritva's shot in the Gemara, that Tanba Uzrudin, Tanba Inam Uzrudin, no one knows what that Uzrudin exactly needs to say. The chilut they're making is between ones that will grow up into an Elon, which are Usr, and ones that will never grow up into an Elon, which are Mutter. The second exception, Mishnah Berurah says, is if something is brittle. This is based on a different angle, though. It says you can't use even a yerek if it's very brittle. Not because of the gzera d'rabbanan, for a different reason, because of actual kotzer. Right? If you use something that, is, when you touch it, it always breaks, because it's very hard and dried out and delicate, then there are certain types, there are even certain types of plants. Now it all depends how you use them, right? There's some like thorns that whenever you step on them,
You break off the thorns if you step hard. There are some plants that are so delicate, maybe you touch them a little, you'll knock off pieces. So any of those brittle, delicate things are usher to use, not because of the gzeira, but because you're tolei shemamish, because every time you touch it, it's a psikoresha that you're going to knock off a piece. So that, I mean, it's just an obvious svara, not a chiddush of the Mishnah Berurah. He just mentions it to us to inform us of that. The third issue is Yerkes Motor Yoshim. The Pesach Machlokas is Tachlos Yidim Utzachim is Motor, which we'll get to in Sifbet, and Seedate Studim are Motor, which we'll get to in Sif Yudim. These are the discussions of the Shulchan Aruch regarding what chetzes are within the Isser of Shemesh Ilan, dried out Yirakos, and in days of discussion of low, close to the ground, trees, and Yud Gimel, seed date stud.
Sorry, just go back a second. In the case where it's brutal, if it wasn't a psikresha, it wouldn't be mutter.
Yeah. I think he's almost talking about when it's a psikresha. Yeah, because it's not within the gzera. It's just the regular rules of psikresha. I don't think there's a finish here. It's just the application of the regular rules. The continuing in the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Aleph then, Ain olam be'ilam again be'lachin yoshi nisul be'in shtamshim kor b'lekach k'tal gzirishem yalo be'yitlosh olam be'ilam b'shabbos. We have a special knas Chazal made. There's a special knas Chazal made that if you do go up to tree on Shabbos, you're not allowed to come down. Then the shogeg motzal leirid mezid asur leirid. This is clearly knas. That's why there's a difference between shogeg and mezid. You shouldn't have climbed up a tree. Apparently climbing down a tree is not bats muso, a real isser. It's just a knas. So, like all things, if you go up a shogeg, there's no knas, like most things, I should say, rather. If you go up a mezid, there is a knas. Olam yigo d'yom b'chol gav ne'imotcho leirid mishich ha-sheicha. V'yesho amr d'hani milik sha yadaito leirid mi rod yom, olo lo yadaito leirid mi rod yom, lo yirin shech ha-sheicha, kem sha yadaito leishev sham, b'h, kem sha yadaito leishev sham, b'isser. So, this is a machlokes rishonim. The Gemara says, if you go up a shogeg, there's no knas. If you go up a mezid, there's a knas. If you're there from Friday, there's no knas. So what does that mean? So the Magen Mishnah is the first day is Makel. So if you went up Friday, you never did a maisa isser of going up, so there's no knas. Even if you've been mezid, stayed over Shabbos, there's no knas on the mezid staying. Only on if you do a maisa of a mezid of going up. But the Torah seems to imply that no, the gzeira is on all mezid. There's a gzeira if you go up a mezid on Shabbos, and there's a gzeira if you went up on Friday and stayed the mezid on Shabbos. So that's the machlokas. If you went up on Friday and forgot and stayed on Shabbos, then of course there's no knas. The machlokas is, what if the first day, the Magen Mishnah says, Chol Gadon, if you didn't do a mice of a mezid on Shabbos, then there's no knas. Second day, which the Torah says no. If you accidentally stayed on Shabbos, then it's shogeg. But if you on purpose stayed on Shabbos, then it's b'mezid. L'mais in the Mishnah Berurah is mekel here, like the first day, so there's no knas for going up on Shabbos. Even if you stayed b'mezid, there's only a knas if you actively did a mice of going up b'mezid on Shabbos.
Is there a reason why when they let you go down, you end up a shogeg? Is that because really, like with the same chash about the same reason they made the zero going up, would have the theory applied going down? They just make it because they don't want you to be on the tree all Shabbos, or because there's actually less than a chash.
So this is very interesting. Let's look at this Ramah. The Ramah says, "V'davka adam sh'olah sham v'lanir sham chifin v'odiyom aser lit lo misham b'Shabbos." When is there between shogeg and mezid? In between, again, according to the Torah, there's only difference between shogeg and mezid. According to where make like the Magen Mishnah, there's a difference between shogeg and mezid, and there's a difference between riva odiyom and going up Mishach HaShech on Shabbos. This is all true for a person coming down. But for to take a chayfetz down, if you kick your ball into a tree, or if you put something on a tree, then either way it's also to take down on Shabbos no matter what. Why should this be? Not exactly clear. It doesn't seem to me necessarily a knas. What makes more sense to say is that according to the, after all, this is the Magen Mishnah talking. We know, we'll see in a moment, the Magen Mishnah holds that taking something out of a tree is considered shimush in a tree. So if you take something out of the tree, that's shimush in a tree, and that's ulcer. So l'chor, taking yourself out of a tree is also shimush. So the Mishnah Berurah explains that if you have your ball in a tree, taking it out of the tree is using the tree. So no matter what, you can't take it out. Medina, you can't take it out because taking it out is using the tree. If you yourself is in a tree, then climbing down is using the tree, but staying there is also using a tree. Every moment you stay there, you're using the tree. So it's the same using a tree whether you stay there or climb down. Either way, you're using a tree. So that's where we say that Medina, you could climb down, because if you're going to use the tree climbing down or use the tree staying there, you might as well make yourself comfortable and climb down. But Miknasa, you have to stay there if you went up and made it. That's the difference between...
Then you're staying there for longer than you would have taken to go down. You're using it for longer.
If you stay there, you're using it for longer than if you go down. Efsha, nonetheless, they made a knas. Nonetheless, still made a knas. Nafkamina might be... Nafkamina, this would probably more likely be, what if you went up a shogay and then remembered? Do you have to go down right away, or can you stay for 10 minutes and then go down? Of course, you have to go down right away, because if you're going to use the tree going down, you shouldn't also use the tree sitting there for 10 minutes. That would be it. So, just to review for a second, if your chayfet's in a tree, you're not allowed to take it down, medina, that's using the tree. If you're in the tree, you can go down, because you're using the tree whether you stay or whether you climb down, either way. Medina, you can go down. Only miknasa, you can't go down if you went up the mazit.
Sitting on the tree is also...
Exactly. So that's why it's the same using the tree whether you go down or stay up. So therefore, of course you can go down. Why shouldn't you use the tree in a way that makes you comfortable and not use the tree in a way that makes you stuck in a tree? The only time you can't go down is when there's a knas. The knas is a different angle.
Isn't the chash greater than when you're going down? Because when you're moving, you're more likely to...
Isn't the chash... I mean, I'm not sure if halachically... First of all, I'm not sure how luckily it makes a difference whether the chash is greater or not. I mean, an isser is an isser. So, yeah, that's what I would think. And then the Ramah concludes, which we read already about the difference between Elon and a Gerrit. In Sif Beis, we go on to discuss the Sharushin. These are... You know, I don't think it's a lot of lundus here, but it's very complicated technically, just figuring out the scenarios, you might have noticed. Sif Bey, Sharsha Ilan, Igvon, this is all a Gemara in Erevin. I think there's also in Dafkof. This is Tzadi Pest. Tzadkof, Sharsha Ilan, Igvon, and Arch Losh, Tfachm, Usul, Shamish, Bahem. Possibly Khan, Mutul, Shamish, Bahem. Tree roots that are higher, that go up higher than, you know, sometimes the tree roots go into the ground and they come out again. Right, I'm sure you've seen that. So if they go out when three tefachim off the ground, it's also to use them. If they're within three tefachim off the ground, it's mutter to use them. This is because we generally have a rule that anything within three tefachim of the ground is considered the karka. So it's not a milan, it's the karka. Anything within three tefachim of the ground is mutter. The Mishnah Berurah points out that even though here we're talking about sharshei ilan, so that's just the common hechitzus. Not davka sharshei ilan. Even the ilan itself, even any part of the ilan, anything that's in three tefachim of the ground is considered to be part of the karka and is mutter. There's no issur at all within three tefachim of the ground. Here the example is sharushim, but don't think it's only a heter and sharushim, because sharushim are rooted. No, even the tree itself within three tefachim of the ground you're allowed to use because it's considered an extension of the karka and not the tree.
But if you had fruits within those bottom three, in other words, like is there a
right, so that's where the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Prima Gadim on this, right? That's the Prima Gadim's discussion. So I think it's the Mishnah Berurah quotes it. You don't have to look in the Prima Gadim. He quotes the Prima Gadim where his example is blueberries. Apparently blueberry bushes are within three tefachim of the ground. I think at least that's how it translates in my Mishnah Berurah. I'm not 100% sure. These are obviously very big Halachos Brachos issues, as you might be familiar with. That plants within three tefachim of the ground are trees that grow fruit within three tefachim of the ground are real suffering in Hilchos Brachos. But if you have berries within three tefachim of the ground, so the Prima Gadim said that in that case we are machmir. Not only that, he even goes so far as to say that maybe even a yerek with fruit within three tefachim of the ground were machmir. And I think the logic seems to be this: really, the gzeira is because of the fruit. The ikur gzeira is because of the fruit. Even though the Shabur says you might pick anything, you might pick leaves or twigs or fruits, the Iker Zera is because of the fruit. So the real svara that goes there is only where the fruit is. The low plug that we say anything that's a Chaloshem Ilan, according to us, or a Chaloshem Chomer, according to the Taz,
they answered as well. So the Prima Gada thing of Shari says, when the Svara of the, when the Tama Isra applies, so the Tama Isra applies, don't look at technicalities. If it has fruit, it's Usr. When it's merely a technicality that it's Usr, so it's an Elon, Haloshem Elon, then the technicality can be mapped to the technicality. The only reason we're asking is because Haloshem Elon without fruit, then we say within three Tfachim, it's not Haloshem Elon, it's Haloshem Karka. So we can be mapped to it. So the technicality of three Tfachim sum up to the Karka can get us out of the technical Isra of a Haloshem Elon. But if you have a real common sense iser, a svara iser, a tamha iser, because there are actual fruits that you might pick, then he says the technicality is not going to get you out of the iser where the tam really applies. And it's not so posh in the Prima Gada. Even the Prima Gada is the suffix of that. He doesn't say the vados. He says efsher. Because often we'll think, like sometimes we'll think, let's just look at it practically and forget the technicalities. More likely in halacha we say, look, there are technical formal xeros, and we don't look at whether the reason applies. We just look at, we only look at the technicalities. Here the Prima Gada is trying to say it's Vedinim. Say, when the reason applies to their fruits, then it's usher because of the reason. When there are no fruits, then it's usher because of the technicality of a Haloshem Elon, but if it's within three tefachim on the ground, it's not a Haloshem Elon. That's the Chiddush of the Prima Gadim, so the Mishabura breaks down. He's not sure about it, the Mishabura is machna that way. So Lamaisa, even within three tefachim on the ground, if they're mamish, there are, you know, what, raspberries grow that way, blackberries, blueberries, whatever they are, then you shouldn't use that part of the tree. Use that bush. The, yeah.
Is it even vegetables?
What? The Prima Gadim goes so far as to say, even a yerek, if it's, even a yerek, as he wants to go so far, he wants to say, A, if the reason applies to take away the heter of possibly gibel tefachim, B, if the reason applies to take away the heter of yerek. Although that second one is a little less sure about. This is all possibilities. But certainly, Prima Gadim thinks it's possible that if the reason applies, you don't look at any technicalities.
He's within the rush.
No. He's saying, even within the Mechaber, the Ramah, and everyone who says the Yerek is Mutter, that's if it doesn't have fruit on it. What are they talking about? They're talking about grass, and they're talking about kinim. They're not talking about mamish a tomato. Mamish a tomato, he's saying, everyone will be Mutter's Osir, because who cares whether technically it's a Yerek? It's got a fruit.
What's the difference in that and Nitra Kinsa?
What?
What's the difference in that and having twigs on it? There's just an equal concern in the Gemara about the tree, which is Yavesh Ravah. We're concerned they're also having Nitra Kinsa.
Right, but you might have said they'd be only concerned their agav won't be able to clear any lotus. But they would never go there to Rukko, so they would never go there. But this is the Prima Gadim saying that, look, just like the three tefachim is not really an Elon, but if the reason applies, there's still a Xerah. A Yerek is not really an Elon, but if the reason applies, there's still a Xerah. So the Prima Gadim says that if the reason applies, then it's Osir, because he wants to say that obviously being a Yerek as opposed to an Elon is a technicality. Being within three tefachim on the ground is certainly a technicality. You only use the technicalities when it's a technical Xera. When it's a real, common sense, reasonable Xera, when the reason applies, then you don't use any technicalities. Which is a bit of a, not the way we always work, but it's certainly Asher.
When you said Yerek before, that was...
I know, when I said Yerek, it sounds like I'm talking about a tomato. But they didn't, the Prima Gadim would say at least, that Esher, they didn't mean a tomato, they meant a reed or a grass, which is what they were talking about. Maybe they'd be molded a tomato, or a cucumber. Maybe, he's not sure about. But maybe, even though the word Yerek often means an edible vegetable, but lav dafka, they only meant non-edible Yerekos.
So, Bafri Tvachim, Yerek, which is a tomato.
Then also the Prima Gadim would be Mechadesh that if there's actual I don't think tomatoes grow above your Tvachim, I guess if you felt the little things they would. The Prima Gadim would be Mechadesh that not the Prima Gadim's Chiddush goes so far as to say that that even under three Tvachim their fruits is Usr, even a Yerek over three Tvachim their fruits is Usr, and even a Yerek and under three Tvachim still if their fruits is Usr.
But everyone else above three Tvachim like a tomato is so much.
Would say a low gus would be Yerek. Yeah, tomato plant is a Yerek. It's very soft. So, so that's the Prima Gadim says when it comes to these technical kulas, when it comes to these technical kulas, we don't use these technical kulas if there's really a chash of picking fruit. The Shulchan Aruch here mostly discusses, though, all kinds of details on the exact geography of these routes. What we just said.
This is the suffix. What if here's your ground level? And here's your tree. And here's your roots. And the root goes like this. Over here it's 4 tefachim high. Over here it's 2 tefachim high. Over here it's 3 tefachim high. So it goes up. Let me draw a 3 tefach line. Okay, blue is ground level, red is 3 tefach line. In real life, they would be parallel. And green is the tree root. So the tree root, obviously this part is mutter. It's a root under 3 tefach, but then it dips off, and then it dips back down. So what happens when it dips back down? Do we say that's mutter under 3 tefach, or since it's just hanging from over 3 tefach, it's usser? That's the Gemara wants to know, and the Gemara decides. Whatever's above the red line is usser. Whatever's below the red line is mutter, even though it's only an appendage of something from above 3 tefachim. Nonetheless, once it dips below 3 tefachim, it's considered part of the karka, even if it's not attached to the karka here, right? It's just coming down and hanging from something above 3 tefachim. Still, whatever, even this appendage is mutter. That's the Shulchan Aruch's chiddush. Ha'yukvom shlosha v'cholol tachteihem. Afal bishem itzad echa in chol tachteihem v'arin shom l'oritz asur leishiv afilu al tzad. Again, I don't want to get to all the different scenarios here, but what he's trying to say is if you have an area where the ground is not flat, you know, let's say you have over here, this is your neighbor's field is much higher, there's a little wall, and then your field is much lower, and the roots going like this. It's 3 tefachim off the ground, on this side, and on this side. But on this side, it's actually buried underground, right? One side of it is actually buried under the ground of your neighbor's field, you know, assuming there are steps. So what about that? So he said, since only one side is underground, or close to the ground, but 3 sides, top of the marker, bottom of the marker, and side of the marker, are higher than 3 tefachim, we go by the 3, it's higher than 3 tefachim, it's usser. What if it was 2 and 2? What if it, hard to exactly make that, someone here named more talented in drawing could draw that. But what if you had a case where, there's like this and this. The ground is high, ground is high, ground is low, and it's going like this. So this side is underground, this side is underground, and these two sides are 3 fucking high. 2 and 2, we're mako. Even split, we're mako. But 3 high and 1 low, we're machmer. Okay, this is going to come up, you know, you have trees, trees growing in ditches, this would come up, trees growing in the corner, by the walls. So this, again, I'm not sure if this comes up every day, but that's the principle, is that oscillation fields had a shovel. All right, that if 3 sides are gimel, gavo, gimel, tfachim, and 1 side is not, then the whole thing's usser, all 4 sides are usser. And if 2 sides are gimel, tfachim, and 2 sides are not, then all 4 sides are mutter. That's the dividing line. The Mishnah Berurah does make the Bir Halacha. It's one important Ha'ara. It says when you measure the 3 tefachim, you don't measure to the bottom of the roof. Roots are thick. You measure to the top of the roof. After all, you sit on the top of the roof, not the bottom. So you have to measure from the top of the root if it's 3 tefachim above the ground or if it is not 3 tefachim above the ground. And then you'll know if you're allowed to sit on it or not, which I guess was common in those days, probably nowadays also, to sit on tree roots that emerge from the ground. And that's why the example is tree roots. That's the only thing you would commonly use so low to the ground, to the people who would sit on tree roots.
We assume that tree stumps are dead.
Tree stumps are, if a tree stump is under 3 tefachim, then a vada is mutter, no question here. If a tree stump is higher than 3 tefachim, which is a common issue, then I think that's discussed in the Lamitas Malachas book, yeah? And he says, if you see shoots coming out of it, it's alive, then it's usser. If you don't see shoots coming out of it, then I think he's mako. Anyone have it here? Do you remember what he said, Leigh? Only in the summer, based on the machlokas. All right, we don't have it. You have to be ayin shum, and you'll see. Yeah, so if someone wants to run and get it, we can look at it.
Okay.
We don't assume they're a separate entity from the tree. The Mishnah Berurah said the same thing would be any part of a tree, though. If there was a branch that came out under three tefachim, it would also be mutter. There's no roots are the same as the tree. Yeah, and the bottom of the tree is okay, mamish. The bottom of the tree is okay. It's just that's not a common thing, because how are you going to use the bottom of a tree exactly?
I'm leaning against it. You just have to make sure not to lean.
Yeah, okay, so enough ramen. Yeah.
Yeah,
the bottom of a tree is okay. That's what Mishnah Berurah says. Lob after Shemashim. It's just common to sit on Shemashim. So that was the issue which they had also fit to discuss. But lob after.
The whole story is that something that's on the tree is considered part of the
time. Even the tree itself. Yeah. That's. Again, it's a technicality, which is why the Prima Gadim says, don't use it. If there's a real shash, only use it if you're in, only use it when you're in the world of technicalities. Use the technicality. If you're in the world of real shash of Issa Daraisa, then don't use technicalities to bring yourself close to doing an Issa Daraisa. But in Echlami, technically, the bottom, even though it's the same tree, just the bottom of the tree, technically that's the ground, that's not a tree. That's the halach. Whether we like it or not. Okay, we'll come back to the tree stump, but the next sif in Shulchan Aruch that talks about this inyan, here we are, okay, tree stump, thank you. So what did he say about the tree stump, here we are. One is permitted to sit or stand on a dead tree stump. He seems to say that everyone's moda in a tree stump. He wants to say everyone's moda that a tree stump is mutter whether winter or summer. Nothing to do with the mechaber. And his makor is, I don't have it here, he quotes from the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan says that, unless that's the other part. I think the chaf of the tree stump is that it's not going to be confused with a tree, because it's only a stump. So therefore, we're making on it, so it's a tree stump, he's making that even though it's technically part of a tree, but they weren't gozer on a tree stump the way they were gozer on a dead tree. They weren't gozer on a dead tree stump the way they were gozer on a dead tree, because you're not so likely to be confused. That's what he says. I think he's quoting from the Aruch HaShulchan, although it's a little hard to tell from the, what the footnote goes on.
Even during the winter?
Even during the winter, he's Mekel. Even during the winter, he's Mekel. Yeah. The tree stumps, he says, are okay. It's a big nafkamina l'maisa. Then, later on in Sif Yod, we come back to this issue of the Isser of Shemesh B'mechubar, and he says, Hadas B'mechubar, Motzer L'Ariach Bo'avol Esru B'tapoch Kol Dover Roi L'Achila, Asur L'Ariach Bo'v'mechubar, Shema Yokutz Oso Le'achlo. Says a Hadas B'mechubar, you're allowed to smell, a fruit that's B'mechubar, you're not allowed to smell, because you might come to pick it. Now, what's interesting is he doesn't say, just say they're all Asur to smell, because Amish Dam Shin B'mechubar. The Shulchan Aruch makes it sound like smelling is not considered a real shemush. Smelling is not a real shemush. You're just you're not even having any direct physical contact with it. Just smelling, it's like if you look at a tree and see it's pretty, do you call that shemush? The b'chomer? Of course not. So smelling is not shemush. It's the you're not in any contact relation with the tree. But nonetheless, even though it's not shemush, there's a separate zayir against smelling. But since smelling is only a since smelling is only separate zera, that's why the Gemara is mechalek between an esrog and a hadas. Now, of course, there's a bit of a machlokus what the difference is between the esrog and the hadar and the hadas. Most we show them say like the machaber. An edible fruit is an iser to smell because you might pick it. A inedible fruit, where it not goes that you'll pick it. Why not? Because a fruit you can only eat if you pick. Right? And the Magen Avraham says, and don't tell me you'll just take a bite out of it on the tree. That's also tovish, take a bite out of it on the tree. Right? That's machlokes with kedarka, lo kedarka, but that's also tovish. So a fruit, there's an incentive to pick, because you can't eat it without being tovish from the karka. So therefore, there's a gzeira even on smelling, even though it's not shemush. A hadas, you can smell for the rest of your life while it's attached to the tree, so there's not such an incentive to pick.
Therefore, they weren't gozer against smelling it, because atrava, it'll smell nice the longest if you leave it on the tree. That's the way the Mechaber, and most Rishonim read it, the Ran quotes in the Gaon, the opposite shot, says, no, doubt the Hadas is also in the Esrog is mutter. The Hadas, which you're smelling, you might pick, and then you can bring it home to smell it in your easy chair. The Esrog, which you usually eat, if you smell it, you'll remind yourself, why am I smelling it and not eating it? Ah, because it's Shabbos. So from the fact that you're smelling it without eating it, you'll remind yourself that it's Shabbos and it'll be okay. There'll be a reminder of Shabbos because you're only smelling an Esrog. But a Hadas, there's no reminder that it's Shabbos. So the Magen Avraham, quoting the Yom Shel Shlomo, decides to be Macher in both ways. Aser the Hadas, because maybe the Gemara meant to say the Hadas is Aser, was Aser. Aser the fruits, because maybe the Gemara meant to Aser the fruits. But we don't hold like that. The Mishnah Berurah says we hold like the Mechaber, that edible fruits are usher, because there's a big zay where you can't eat them until you pick them. Non-edible plants are mutter to smell, because there's not such a gzeira, because you can smell them to your heart's content without violating any malacha. That's how we hold like the Mechaber.
Who was the Machmer opinion?
The Machmer opinion was, well, the opposite opinion was the Ran quoting the Gaonim. It was the Magen Avraham and the Yom Shel Shlomo who said let's be Machmer both ways. Magen Avraham quoting the Yom Shel Shlomo.
Right, it says right here.
Over Yom Shel Shlomo, Machmer Kedas
Aran. Yeah. The flower, which is
also pretty. So a flower, which is like a Hadas, it's Mutter. Again, according to the Ran, quoting the Onu, it's also to smell a flower. According to the Yom Shel Shlomo, according to the Magen Avraham, it's also to smell a flower. But we hold it's Mutter to smell a flower.
A flower like a Hadas, it's also sort of decorative.
Who says a hadas doesn't serve a decorative purpose? We don't bring hadas into our house to decorate them. Maybe they did, right? Doesn't the Ramah say that you put branches in water for decoration, which did not have petals, which were not flowers?
So,
I don't know. It says machmer kedas aran, but I think he meant only machmer, not mako. Kedas aran. I think. You could look it up and be sure. Yeah, but I think he meant only Machmer, like the Ran. Yeah, so you can smell flowers. Matter of fact, we'll get to, there's a question of we'll get to in a few minutes. Maybe you could even hold the flowers to smell them. But first, let's go to Sif Yud Gimel. So Yud Gimel talks about the Halach of Tzdadim, and also gives us some other examples of what kind of things are considered Shemush that are Usher. Let's remind ourselves, so far, what's on our list. What kind of uses are us, or what kind of uses are called Shemush? So from the beginning of the Shulchan Aruch, we already had, well, in the Shtamshin, but we're not sure exactly what it means, but we have Olin and Nislin. Climbing the tree is definitely Usher. Nislin, hanging on a tree is definitely usher. We pointed out that going down a tree and sitting in a tree are all usher. Sitting in a tree, climbing up, climbing down a tree, hanging from a tree, all of those are usher. But how far do we expand that? Those are still all ways of like putting yourself on a tree. How about just stam using? What's including the Isser of Aim, Mishnam, Shin, Klal, just stay? These are all mamash going on a tree. I don't care if I hang, I'm climbing up, I'm climbing down, I'm sitting. You know, what about if I just use it, but I don't put myself on the tree? So is that also Usser? So, the Aim, Mishnam, Shin, the Mechobar Klal, seems to be it is, but the details will come up in Sif Yud Gimel. So Sif Yud Gimel tells us, also Ishtamish, but Stad, Elon, or Lutzide, Stad, and Mutter. This is the Machlokis about both Behem and Elon, which are equated. In Shabbos, not Kufna, Dalet on the base, the Kufna, Hayam, and Aleph, in the last Perek, that is a machlokas, whether it's Dadim or Mutter or Asr. Machlokas, whether it's Seed Dates, Dadim or Mutter or Asr. We pass again the Maskana, the Sogyets, Dadim, Asurin, Seed Dates, Dadim, Mutarin. The side is Asr within the Gzeira, but the side of the side is Mutter. Now, of course, what the side and the side of the side means is a little tricky. Lefika, Asr, Lismo, Kasulon, the Seed Dates, Ha'ilan, the Kisolik, Bein, Mishtamesh, Bits, Dadim. You're not allowed to lean a ladder on the side of the tree, because when you climb up and down the ladder, obviously you're not climbing up the ladder into the tree. That would be awesome to go into the tree anyway. You're just going to climb up the ladder to something else.
Right, you want to climb into your second story window or into your roof or something, and it happens to be, if you lean the ladder against the tree, you'll get to where you need to get. So, you're not allowed to lean the ladder against the tree, because when you climb up and down the ladder, you'll be using the side of the tree. So apparently it's called studdin, even if you don't actually touch the side of the tree, you're just using something which is leaning on the side of the tree. Now, so the Mishnah Berurah and the Achronim explain that even something leaning on the side of the tree is still called studdin. But if there's a peg hammered into the side of the tree, so using the peg would be using the tzidei ha'ilan. But if you then lean a ladder on the peg, if you lean a ladder on the peg, that ladder is tzidei studim, and you can climb up and down the ladder on Shabbos. Davalik yosei studim, v'sulam tzidei studim.
Right, the principle is pretty clear. Likewise, if you stick a pen and hang a basket on the peg and hang a basket on the peg is sudden, the basket is sedate sudden. So what we see from here is that not only that is that anything stuck into the side of the tree is called sudden. Anything which is leaning on the thing stuck in the side of the tree is called sedate sudden. So you can't hang the basket on the peg, because that would be using the peg, which is sedate studim. The Mishnah Berurah also points out that it's not so pashut. I mean, the Mechaber is a little, let's at least take the Mishnah Berurah's approach. When he says, it doesn't mean you can lean the ladder on the yaseid on Shabbos. That's using the yaseid, which is using studim. It means you can lean the ladder on the yaseid on Friday and climb the ladder on Shabbos. When you climb the ladder, you're only using the ladder, not the yosed, and that is called tzidei tzadim. So the Mishnah Berurah here, the Mishnah Berurah here gives us a pretty clear hierarchy. The Mishnah Berurah says that the actual bark of the tree is called the ilan mamish. The thing attached to the side is called studim, and you're not allowed to use that. And the thing attached to the side is cedar studim. That's squared. Feel free to write it out. That's how the Mishnah Berurah reads the Mechaber. So, using the actual bark of the tree, that's an ilan mamish. Using the peg or the nail that's nailed in or screwed into the tree, that's called using studim. Using the basket hanging on the nail or using the ladder leaning on the peg, that's called tzidei studim. The ladder is a chetz of tzidei studim, the peg is a chetz of studim. And the tree is the tree. That's as far as studim. See date studim. We'll see. It might get a little more complicated, but for now, yes.
Would you say it causes the ladder to move on the intake, and that would be considered studim itself? If
when you step on the ladder moves, then you're using the ladder. But the ladder is see date studim.
That would be a problem with the ladder.
That's okay.
Why not different than leaving the ladder on the peg? I mean, you're moving the ladder in either way on the peg.
Because when you put the ladder on the peg, you're using the peg.
You're moving the ladder while you're climbing it. You're always using the tree.
No, you're always using the tree in some sense. Even if you get stuck, you're using the tree. Ultimately, you would fall if there's no tree. Right? But you're indirectly, when you put the ladder on the peg, you're directly using the peg. Because you're hanging something on the peg. When you hang the kalkal on the peg, you're directly using the peg. When you climb the ladder, you're indirectly using the peg. And that's what tzidei studim basically means. It's a type of doubly indirect use of the tree. Right? When I climb up the ladder, I'm using the peg to support the ladder, and I'm using the tree to support the peg. Now, two steps removed from the tree. So that is okay.
Now, the controversial part that comes up here is, what about taking the ladder off the peg or taking the basket off the peg?
So,
The Mishnah Berurah tells us, it's a little unclear, all these details are not so clear in the Mechaber himself. These are only spoken out by the Achronim.
one second. But what about putting an object on a tree? So putting an object on a tree is considered to be, or on the tzadim, is considered to be a shemush. Right, that seems pretty clear from the Gemara, because the Gemara talks about, you know, can you use this, can you use the basket? Right, can you put things in the basket? Well, with the basket, tzadim, you can't. But, right, you can put something in tzadim, but you can't put something in tzadim, you can't put something on the ilan. So putting something on the ilan is considered a use. That's actually fairly intuitive. The more complicated case is, what about taking an object off the tree? Is that considered a shemush, or is that not considered a shemush? Right, so what about if I take something out of the kalkala? So if I take something out of the kalkala, the kalkala tzidei tzadim anyway, so it doesn't matter. But what if I want to take the kalkala off of yosei? Or what if the kalkala is hanging on the tree and I want to take something out of the kalkala? What about that case? Is taking something off considered shemush? You might say no, because I'm not using it. I'm stopping to use it. So what's the din of taking something off? This is a very confusing issue. In the actual Gemara and Shabbos, the context of Gemara was like all many, many nice Gemaras. It's the question of Erev, right? The Erev has to be edible when Shabbos starts, which means it has to be someplace where it's halachically mutter to take it, meaning if you actually leave an Erev tchomet. It has to be someplace where it would be halachically mutter to eat it from. So what if you left it in a kalkala on the tree? So that's, the Gemara starts clearing, well, if the kalkala is on the tree, then it's not a good Erev, because you can't eat it, because you'd be using the tzadim. If the kalkala is on a peg on the tree, then it is a good Erev, because you can take it out of the kalkala, because it's tzidei tzadim. Well, the Gemara seems to assume is that taking food out of the basket is considered a use, is usher. Taking food out of a basket, if we had tree, basket, that would be usher to take food out. Sorry, if this is a tree branch. If we had a tree with a peg from which I hung a basket, then it would be mutter. Right, so I can take food out of the tzidei tzadim. I can't take food out of the tzadim. Kal v'chomer, I can't take food or anything else out of the tree itself. So taking out, removing, is considered a shemush. Now this bothered a lot of the Rishonim. This seemed to be very not pashut. The Magid Mishnah said, very, very pashut. The Magid Mishnah says that, yeah, taka, that's a shemush. Taking something off is also using. That's also a shemush. There's some controversy as to what the as to whether the Orchis Chaim or the Kolbo meant to argue on the Orchis Chaim. There's some controversy whether or not he meant to argue on the Magid Mishnah, but Lamaise, it seems pretty partial from the sugya that's usher to take things off. So it might be because it's called Shemush, but there are other theories in the Achronim as well as why it's usher to take things off. The Magen Avraham wants to analyze the Rush and say the Rush doesn't think it's Shemush to take things off. He just says that it's a gzeira, that if you take things off, you're going to climb. Even though, like you say, it's ingoes and zero like zera. No, in this case, they made a general zera, even including taking things off, because even though it's not really a shemush, you will end up climbing the tree. The Mishnah Berurah brings a slightly different idea. Said that when you take something off the tree, you might end up leaning on the tree. So it's a little unclear what the isra is. The Magen Avraham says, based on the Rush, is that you might the ola in the tree. The Mishnah Berurah says you might lean on the tree, but everyone agrees, Lamaisa, everyone seems to agree. Again, the Beis Yosef at the very end of our siman is a little confusing about it. The Achronim all talk about that he seems to say that uh,
But the Orchas Chaim argues on this, but it's hard to imagine the Orchas Chaim argues in the first Gemara that you can't take something out of a stud. Kal v'chomer that you learn itself. So it seems that taking something out is either a shimush or is so likely to lead to a shimush that Chazal answered it as well. The Agam, the Mishnah Berurah points out, this is based on earlier simanim, that once taking an object off a tree is usher, they went so far as to, even though this seems like a very far-reaching zero there, nonetheless, they made all one zero. You can't even leave an object in the tree over Shabbos if you plan to use it, because you'll end up taking it down. The Mishnah Berurah quotes. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from Simon Reish Samech. This is the Mishnah Berurah. It's a little earlier, I think. Sifkatan Yud Beis, quoting from Simon Reish Ayin Zayin. Before Simon Reish Ayin Zayin, that you can't leave on Yontif, if you can't leave your candle in a tree. Now that means you can leave things in the tree over Shabbos. You plan to just let them sit there all Shabbos and mind their own business. The point is you can't leave something in a tree on Shabbos if you plan to use it on Shabbos. You say, I'm going to use it from the tree. I'm leaving a candle all Yontif in the tree, and I'm only going to use the light where it is. But you'll end up saying, I want to carry this candle around with me, and going up and taking it off the tree, which at least on Yontif. So therefore, likewise, anything else, if you have some sort of hechi pinta like this, you want to leave a book in the tree, you'll say, I'll come read it on Shabbos, right where it is, without moving it. We say no, because you're going to end up taking it off the tree on Shabbos. Again, I'm not sure exactly how shliach this case is, but you never know.
How would it be possible to use a hammock on Shabbos for 2 days?
So let's talk about a hammock. What's the status of a hammock? Is a hammock studding or tzidik studding? So it might depend. There are two possible, and we're getting a little ahead of ourselves, but that might depend on how it's connected to the tree. Let's start with that. Because a hammock, who had in a swing? Right? Swing, hammock, same shiloh. A hammock might depend on how it's connected to the tree. If the hammock is tied to the tree, then the hammock is tzadim. Of course you can't use tzadim. If the swing is tied to the tree, the swing is tzadim. But if, I don't know how they make hammocks. I think usually it might be tied to a tree. I'm not sure. But if no, sometimes the way you make it is you screw a hook into the tree and you hang it on the hook. Then it's like the kalkala, it's like the sulam, like the kalkala on the yosei, like the sulam on the yosei, the hook is the yosei. So then it's mutter to lie in the hammock on Shabbos, because it's only tzidei tzadim, or if, I don't know the various different ways that people hang up hammocks. The same thing would be for a swing. If the swing was just hanging on the tree, like the old-fashioned swings, it would be also a swing on Shabbos, because that's tzadim mamish. If the swing was hanging on some hook that was screwed into the tree, then it would be tzidei tzadim, and it would be mutter. The one thing which the Shmir Shabbos Pasa tells us, which really comes out of Mefurish and some in Shin Hei, is that don't be clever and say, look, how is the hammock made? The hammock is made, it's got, one piece which is ties around the tree, and then another piece which connects that to the part I lie on, another piece I lie. It's so many different pieces, so it's three dates dozen. It's many, many different pieces. So the Shmir Shabbos Pasa has quotes from Simon Shin Hei, when they discuss the carriage drawn by an animal, says, no, the whole carriage, even though it has many different pieces, is all considered one thing. So it's all one kli that's used together. Anything that's all one kli that's used together is considered one piece. Even if you could take it apart into different pieces without any tools, without untying, without breaking, without cutting, you can take it apart. If it's used as one piece, like a swing, they sell the swings, right? Sometimes there'll be a board, and then there'll be a rope with a knot that holds up that board. So don't say the rope is studded and the board is seated studded. No, it's all one swing that you're meant to use together, even though it's different pieces. That's all one thing and it's all one big studded. But if you screw the hook into the tree, and then you hang the hammock on the hook, then clearly the hammock is meant to be used to be hung on the hook, and the hook is in the tree, you can hang anything on, they're two different things, then it would be seated studded. So it would depend on how it was attached to the tree. So obviously, it behooves someone to attach their hammock to the tree in a way which it would be tzidei tzadim, so that they could relax in it on Shabbos. Does it matter if the peg moves? So one thing is clear, it does matter if the tree moves. That's the second restriction on hammocks. When it comes to hammocks and swings, there's two factors. A, is it Stadim or Tzidit Stadim. B, does the tree move? Where, why? Because that also comes with Furish from the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kuf Mem Hei Amud Aleph. If the tree moves, when you use your Kalkala, then it's Aser. Because if the tree moves, that's considered directly using the tree. Even though you're moving the tree indirectly, but if you go so far as to move the tree, that's using the tree. So that David Blessing is saying is double pashut. He didn't have to ask a question about that. Everyone knows if the tree moves, it's also the swing or the hammock. Swings is probably much more shchiach because hammocks are usually attached to the trunk, and it's hard to imagine that. I mean, probably doesn't move. Swings, which are attached to branches, I mean, it's probably safer if it doesn't move anyways. But I'm not a bucky. It could be that it would move it. So if you move the actual tree, that even Tzidit Stadim should be Asur. That's our Lamatas Melachos book. Lesson asks, what if it doesn't move the tree, but it moves the peg? So is that a problem? Because if you're moving the peg, it's Mishnamish Pit Stadim. If it doesn't move the tree, but it moves the peg. Not sure. On the one hand, you can say, yeah, you're mishtamish in stadim. The other hand, you say, no, maybe only the tree itself. We say, if you move the tree, you're mishtamish in the ilan. Maybe moving the stadim is not considered a problem. Not sure.
So, we just assume that the yesed, the gemara, like yesed mamish, you can't have, like, inside this one which is tied to a tree. It has to be something which is bored into the tree.
No.
How do you start deciphering? Like, you'd be like the handle on the basket, that handle is what's.
Yes. So that's why I quoted the Mishnah Shabbos. So Fasa was really quoting from the Mishnah Berurah, Magen Avraham, and Siman Shin Hei. Whatever is considered to be used as one kli is one thing.
You tie a rope to a tree and tie something to the rope to the tree. That's fine.
So if the rope is comes with a swing set, then you say it's not cut. If the rope is an all-purpose rope that you just tie something to, but the rope is not necessarily part. It's not like the handle of a basket. Then lachor that would be tzidei tzadim. Yeah. The thing is, that gets back to David's question, because if it's a rope as opposed to a yaseid, his yaseids usually don't move. Right? That's why it's a yaseid. A rope, which moves whenever you use it, maybe is not so plush that counts as an intermediary. Not sure. All right. Unclear. The postmen don't really discuss these examples. I don't know. You have to look and see if it relates to it before. But in any case, if you have a metal hook or something that's a yaseid, it probably doesn't move, so David's question doesn't come up. The Ramah continues here. Umotar liga bi ilan. You're allowed to. Let's just continue our. Let me erase something. Continue our list. Let's make a list of not shibush. We said smelling is not a shibush, but it's usher for fruits because they were gozer and smelling nonetheless. But it's not usher for omachuber. It's not a real shibush. Only usher for fruits. Touching. Ramah says, much of Ligar B'ilan, touching is not considered a shimush. Uvilvad shalo yinidenu, as long as you don't move it. But if you move it, that's considered a shimush. That's. Goes on this list. Anything which moves the tree is considered to be a shimush, even though otherwise you might not have thought of it as a shimush. Even just touching it stam, that moves it. I'm not using it for anything, I'm just touching it and it moves stam. That's considered to be a shimush. The Achronim here discuss, what about leaning on a tree? So the Magen Avraham says that leaning on a tree is okay if you're strong, not if you're weak.
is what kind of leaning on tree we're talking about. The Bir Halacha says, we're not talking about leaning on a tree and moving the tree. If you lean on a tree and move the tree, that's the realm already covered, that it's usher to even touch a tree if it moves the tree. So if it moves the tree, then avad, you're not allowed to lean. What about leaning without moving? Right? That's nishan. The eino minnaneh. So the Magen Avraham says, this is based on Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says it depends, weak or strong. The Bir Halacha says some people, how you don't want to say, means if the tree is weak or strong. A strong tree, you don't move. A weak tree, you move. Says, no. That's the repulsion that it's also to lean on a weak tree and move it. That's obvious. The Rishalim is clear from the context that if you're weak or strong, so if you are strong, then it's mutter, it's not a shimush. If you are weak, then it is usher. That's what the Yerushalmi means when it distinguishes between a tush and a bar. A weak and a strong person. The Bir Halacha here wants to fit this into the Bavli as well. We know from the Bavli has the sugyas of smicha. The Bavli some smicha on an animal. Basically, the issur of using an animal and using a tree are this similar isurim. The Skadim and Sigate Skadim was one big sugya that using animals and trees is all the same isur, more or less. So, the Bavli says that smicha on a carbon, if you need smicha b'chol kocho, that's usher because you're using an animal on Shabbos. But smicha shelo b'chol kocho is, well, yontif is more the example there, because on Shabbos we don't really bring the carbonus l'kuliyama, that requires smicha. But if it's not b'chol kocho, it's mutter. So the Bavli seems to have a slightly different distinction. Leaning b'chol kocho is considered a use. Meaning, shalom b'chol kocho, you know, is not considered use. That's we have this, forget about the issue of use. This is, we know, in Kolotar Kula, that's the Geder of Amida. Right, everyone says, right, if you lean on something, shalom b'chol kocho, then not seriously, then you're still standing. If you lean on something seriously, you're standing. So the Mishnah Berurah just says in the Bir Halacha, he said, the Bavli and Yerushalmi, the Bavli when it comes to smicha and karbonos, and this Yerushalmi when it comes to an Elon, are saying the same thing. The Mishnah Berurah just says the yesod is lav dafka if you're strong or weak. Really, this means if you're strong, you usually lean shalo b'chol kocho, and if you're weak, you usually lean b'chol kocho. But the Mishnah Berurah says lav dafka if you're strong or weak. It doesn't matter if you're strong or weak. It matters if you're leaning b'chol kocho or not b'chol kocho. What does it mean b'chol kocho or not b'chol kocho? We not only assume b'chol kocho. What b'chol kocho? I mean, how do you know when you've done kol kocho? Maybe you have a little more koach. Kol kocho means that if you took it away, you'd fall. Your whole weight is resting on there. Right now, I'm leaning on this table with kol kocho. If you move this table, I'd break my nose on the ground. Now, I'm leaning on this table, not with kol kocho. You move the table, and I'd stay standing exactly where I am. I'd just be a drop less comfortable. The same as the gather for the you know, for Amida to call it Tarkula. So, the Mishnah says, that's really the chiluk. It doesn't matter if you're strong or weak. Just usually a weak person needs to lean on the tree or else he'll fall. That's called kochel. Usually a strong person just stops. But if you're a strong person, you stay up on like one toe and you lean against the tree, and that's also usher, because you're now a weak person who needs the tree to support you. So it doesn't matter whether it's smooth so you're strong or weak in potential. It matters whether actually the way you're leaning now is a leaning that supports you or a leaning that doesn't support you. So, if you lean on a tree and it doesn't move, then it's a chiluk. Are you leaning it and it's really supporting your weight, or it's not supporting your weight? But of course, if you lean on the tree and it moves, Mishnah Berurah says, that makes no difference. That's usher either way, as Rama said, ubulvad shalo yinni denu. Then the Rama just ends, bor omaka filo mea ama, mocha leiri vlalos from tapas, yurum tapas, ovlo, hashina shem yakar karka bidas valiyaso. Even though there's an issue of climbing trees, because remember, it all started with climbing, there's no issue of climbing into pits. There's a bit of a machlokes of what the hab means, but it would be also to climb up and down pits. The Rama says, you might think, don't climb a tree because you'll take off fruit. Don't climb a pit because you'll take off some dirt from the ground and dig. You know, if you take dirt out of a pit, you're digging. No, there were goes around fruits, there weren't goes around digging pits. So you're allowed to climb up and down walls and pits and all kinds of other things on Shabbos, as long as it's not a tree. I think we've covered all of the issues in terms of the issue of shimush from mechover. What kind of mechover is usher, and what kind of shimush is considered a shimush that is usher. The other parallel gzeira, which comes up, well,
one thing that comes up important in Agav Orphan is Simon Shin Yud Beis. I'll just mention a brief machlokas. Simon Shin Yud Beis Sif Vav, the Machaber says that you're allowed to wipe after the bathroom with grasses on Shabbos as long as you don't move them. Bavad Shalom Yitziz Zain. You don't move them. Right? It really says this, so I'm not making it up. Machaber says, "Mekantim b'shabbos v'asavim lachem afilu heim b'chubarim." You can use moist grass. And the only reason you can't use dry grass is for health reasons. You can use moist grass on Shabbos even if it's mechuber. Ubelvad shlo yizizim. As long as you don't move them, umeshim shabbos mechuber lekad lo amrel be'ilan v'lo be'yerek. It's not an isser mishimas mechuber because there's no. The only isser is a tree, not a yerek. Which again, the Taz seems to have ignored in Simchin Lamavav, as was pointed out. But he says you're not allowed to move the grass. This is a very important halacha ma'isa. What does it mean you're not allowed to move the grass? It's a fundamental machlokas between the Magen Avraham and everyone else. The Magen Avraham says it means the grass is muktzah. Everyone knows mechuber is muktzah. Even after it comes detached, it's muktzah. Certainly, but it is mechuber. Mechuber l'karka is muktzah. It's not a kli. It's muktzah. So therefore, grass. So the grass is muktzah, and that's what means you're not allowed to move it. So it's muktzah. I guess you're allowed to, like, you know, sit on it and wipe yourself, you know, tefillin min hatzad. But you're not actually allowed to take it in your hands and use it to wipe, even very long grass. But you could take in your hands and wipe, and it would still be attached to the ground. You're not allowed to take a flower or grass or vegetable or anything in your hand and move it because it is muktzah. And even so, we're not getting into muktzah now, but, you know, even though you'll say, well, I'm not really moving it. It's the bottom's still in place. I'm only moving the top. But we know that even total muktzah, even total one end of the muktzah is usser, right? That's the Gemara tells us by a mace. It's muktzah to even close the eyes or pick up the hands, etc. You're not even allowed to move part of the muktzah. So the item's muktzah, you're not allowed to move any part.
What about mishtamish b'yerek?
What? So even though you're allowed to do mishtamish b'yerek, that's only if you're mishtamish b'yerek without moving it with your hands. Like, what if you move the rest of your body? Tilt it on its side. Or what if you're mishtamish in a way that doesn't move it? You put something on it or take something off it. You know, or you move it via something else, tilt it on its side. Yeah. So, the minute of you can be mishtamish, but yeah. But only if it's without tilt or tilt it on its side, not if it's mamish or tilt.
Why then what do we do to cover it? It's just like
Okay, so the assumption of the Magen Avraham would be that if you don't actually need to move it, you're right, if you needed to do muktzah to cover up brios, it would be mutter. But he's assuming that you could wipe even without moving it, even when the grass is on the ground. Again, I'm not a bucky in bathroom practices of the, I guess, of the 17th century, or, you know, whoever was in Magen Avraham. But apparently, Magen Avraham assumed that really you could do what you needed to do without tiltul muktzah. But in Echanami, if you needed to do tiltul muktzah, then everyone would be moda. That's true. The truth is the Lamed Tes Melacha book. Just Agav reminded me, point out an interesting thing when we have the Gzeirah coming down from the tree on Shabbos. Nonetheless, Lachora, if you have to go to the bathroom. Right. Then you'd be allowed to come down from the tree because you're allowed to do an Isidore Rabbanan for Kavod HaBrios. So he says you might not be stuck there all Shabbos. It might depend when you have to go to the bathroom. That's a separate issue. Anyway, that's the Magen Avraham. However, the Mishnah Berurah quotes that the El Yoraba and the Tosefta Shabbos and the Mishnah Berurah and Shari Achronim, all the Achronim argue with the Magen Avraham here, all the Achronim say no way. You're allowed to be Mishtamish B'Yerek and you're even allowed to be Metalta B'Yerek. What is Mechavim B'Yerek Logi Zizeng? Saying? You can't pull them out of the ground. That would be Kotzer Mamish, Tolei Shmamish at least. You can't pull them out of the ground, but you can move them while they're attached to the ground. The Mishnah Berurah says, it says all the Achronim went against the Magen Avraham here. All the Achronim say that Mechuber is not Muktzah as long as it's Mechuber. It's only Muktzah if it gets uprooted. But as long as it's Mechuber, it's not Muktzah, and you're allowed to move not the end that's in the ground. You can't take that out of the ground, but you can move the other end. If it's a Yerek, you can move the other end, and it's not a Chashah Muktzah, and that's how we possibly get the Magen Avraham, that you're allowed to move one end of a flower or grass or anything that's not a tree, because you're allowed to be mishtamish b'yerek, and there's no total muktzah as long as it's still mechuber l'karka. That makes a lot of sense if you think about it. I mean, you know, I can open and close the doors of my house, right? They're mechuber.
Right, I can open and close the windows. I mean, generally, I mean, Meiri actually deals with this, I think, someplace in Shabbos, if I recall correctly. Like, you can move things that are Mechorba Lekarka as long as they're still Mechorba Lekarka, even if they have Mokta. Once the door comes off the hinges, it's Mokta. But if it's on the hinges, it's not. So once the grass gets uprooted somehow, it becomes Mokta. But as long as it's still in the ground, it's not Mokta. I was never exactly sure what the svar is. I was always a little misuffled about the svar. Is it really that mechubar is not mukta? Or maybe just that, like, it's not considered tiltal if something's attached to the ground, because it's still, as long as it's attached to the ground, you're not considered to be moving it. Unlike moving an arm of a mace. But if something's mamish attached to the ground, it could be you're never considered to be metalkal it because it's so firmly anchored. But whatever the svar is, whether it's not a chepta of mukta as long as it's mechubar, or whether it's just not a mice of total as long as it's mechubar, we pass it as mutter to be metaltel mechubar lakarka as long as it's still mechubar.
Even if it was there was a gzeir like the Taz and Bayerik, maybe because of cover of brios.
The Taz would say you can use it because of cover of brios. It just so happens that the mechaber happens to say, he didn't have to say that. He could have said, Taka, it's mutter cover of brios, but he happens to say that it's not mishnamish mechubar because it's a yerek. He didn't have to. But he happened to do it anyway, which shows that he really, you know, felt this is something important for us to learn. But you're right, he didn't have to.
If we pass that mutter to remove mechubar, so then why did we say before that, even though you could use the tzidei,
you can't move the tree? Because what I meant is that there's no iser mukta in moving mechubar, but there is an iser shimush in using mechubar. So the Elon, which has an iser shimush, you're not allowed to move. A yerek, which has no iser shimush, you are allowed to move. What?
By moving it, that means you're using it more, so that it's probably
It's considered use to do anything connected to a tree which moves the tree is considered use. Now, it's funny, that doesn't correspond maybe to our idea of the English word use. You know, like, I think, what difference does it make whether I'm using this table, whether the table moves or not? But somehow, if I do something, the tree stands in its place, and I'm on the tzidei tzadim, that's not considered use. I'm not really there's so many layers of indirections between me and the tree. But if I do this and indirectly moves the tree, then I'm really using the tree. So I'm really having a hashpa on the tree. So we see the link between what I'm doing and the tree. So that connects what I'm doing to the tree, and that's considered automatically shimush. Whatever I do that moves the tree is automatically considered a shimush, because there's really a relationship between me and the tree here. But that's al shimush, al mukta. Anything that's mechubar lekarka, moving it is not mukta. I'm allowed to move the grass. I'm allowed to move the flowers. I'm allowed to open and close the door. Sorry, everyone's more than that. But that's all not considered a problem of mukta. Any other questions about Elon? We'll just discuss briefly the issue of behema. I mean, perisha nashim na Elon, we're not really going to discuss very much. That's another very famous, it's just a very famous gzeira that Chazal made out to Koser because it's so central in that very, very exciting sugi in the beginning of Sechaz Beitza. But if trees fall off the falls off the tree on Shabbos, then I'm not allowed to eat it because Zera, I'll find an apple under the tree and eat it. So I want another apple and take one off the tree. We say it's mukta anyway if it falls off the tree on Shabbos. So it's not even such an afkamina, this Zera. It's a very lemaisa, it's a very minor Zera drabonics. It's asering things which are generally mukta anyway. The tree started off mechubar and now is not mechubar, that's mukta. So it's a very minor gzeirah d'rabbanan. The one chumrah of this gzeirah d'rabbanan, as we pointed out, is that if I'm walking down the street and I see a fruit that suffix fell off on Shabbos, suffix fell off on Friday, it's still aser, even though it's only d'rabbanan, because the principle of the davish yeshlo matirin suffix l'chumrah. Okay, but that we're not going to get into. The more interesting case is, how about shimush b'bali chayim? This comes up not here, but in Simen Shin Hei Se'if Yud Ches, in the Simen of the whole parak of Bamei Behema. The Mechaber says, in Rochon al Gav Behema, lo nisno lov, you're not allowed to ride an animal, Shin Hei Se'if Yud Ches, or hang on it. This is unclear why you're not allowed to use an animal on Shabbos. Why can't you ride animals? The Yerushalmi says, to the Shvisas Behemto. That's the Yisra Shvisas Behema. Nothing to do with Xeris. But the Bavli says that it's the same exact iser as trees, gzeira atu flisha. By trees, I understand. I climb the tree, I'll pick a fruit. What's the big deal about riding an animal? The guy probably actually has a few havminas there. If you remember, there's one havmin, the iser of riding animals, that I might go bichut v'chum, which some achronim wanted to transfer to bicycles. And there's a whole discussion in subways, etc., or rather railroads, about this. But lemaisa, we say, not like the Shalmut Jesus, the Hema, not like the Havim, you might go cook the Kum, we say the Israel riding animals is because you might pick a zamora, is like a vine or a small branch, to guide the animal with. I guess it's a very common thing to do. Nowadays, you don't really ride animals so much. It's a very common thing to do in those days. When you rode an animal, you would, you know, they wouldn't, I guess they wouldn't always have a whole ready set of kalim there for leading the animal. They would want to, like, hit the animal a little to make him go, so they would just pick something off a tree as they rode by and use that to hit the animal with. So, that's Xera Atu Plisha. And the Gemara assumes Shimosh Bevalichayim, Shimosh Bevachubar, the Ilanos, is a very similar saying Xera, because in the Sugya of Tzadim and Sidei Tzadim, they compared it, they just learned the halachas of one from the other, and they assumed that the same psak of Tzadim Asr, Sidei Tzadim Muteris, applies to both Behema and Ilan. We saw that the Mishabura learned the Isser of leaning, the same thing as the same as there's different kolkoch on animals, so too by Ilanos. We assume it's the same basic Xera.
You don't call that Xera.
Call what?
If the whole concern in the first place is you're not allowed to use the animal itself, to ride on the animal itself, because then you're going to pull something off the tree, that could be concerned that maybe you're going to come and use the animal if the Xera was there.
Ah, okay, but because they didn't ask you using the animal lest you ride it, and riding the animal lest you pick a small branch off a tree. Rather, it's kulachad zera. They just made a general zera against using animals, even though only one kind of using was what they were worried about. They made a general zera against using animals. And I guess I'm not sure exactly how they decided that, but they used their judgments. So then he continues. Then the lechora, the same kinds of uses that are usher for a tree would be usher for an animal. They're parallel zeros. Tafil betzida usher l'shtamish vol tzidei tzadim is mutter. Same tzida is mutter. Tzidei tzadim. Sorry, tzida is usher. Tzidei tzadim is mutter. Kigon shedavar acher munach al tzida v'mishtamish bo mutter. Here it's a little unclear exactly how to draw the parallelism. The truth is it gets a little complicated, but I see that we don't have a lot of time left. He says, Stadim is usher, tzidei stadim is mutter. He says, what's an example of tzidei stadim? If something is on the side of the animal, and you use that thing, then that is mutter. Now, what exactly does he mean by this? Right? If the yoseid was on the side of the tree and you used the yoseid, we decided that was usher. That was only stadim. So what does he mean here? If something's on the side of the animal, and you use that thing, it's called Tzidei Tzadim and Mutter. Doesn't seem to be exactly parallel. So the Magen Avraham, and quoted by the Mishnah Brura, based on the Ram, say no. What he means is, if there's something on the side of the animal, and you use the side of that object, that's Tzidei Tzadim. Not if you use the top of that object. If something's on the side of the animal and you use the top of it, that's Tzadim. But if you use the side of something that's on the side of the animal, that's considered tzidei tzadim, even though it's not like a second chepta, like a sumum on a yaseid and a kalkala on a yaseid. So I don't know what kind of things are often on the sides of an animal. Let's say it's a saddlebag on the side of the animal. If you like put something in the saddlebag or sit on the saddlebag, that's considered tzadim mamish. But if you use the side of the saddlebag, let's say you lean something on the side of the saddlebag, then that would be considered only tzidei tzadim. The Mishnah Brura seems to assume that this is local. Well, the poskim generally try to draw a comparison between, again, Ilan and Behema, which makes a lot of sense. It's a little funny because the Mishnah Brura says the actual bark of the Ilan is considered Ilan mamsh. The Gemara says that if I take my kid and I rub him on the side of an animal to play, that's considered tzadim. So there does seem to be a little disconnect that leads into the Mishnah Brura, which, you know, maybe I wouldn't have gone there for the Mishnah Brura. But, nonetheless, here he tries to make an equation. What he says is that if here's your animal, I definitely don't know how to draw animals, and there's something on the side of the animal, then if you sit here
that's considered studin, because that's the yaseh, and you're not allowed to use the yaseh, only if you use the side of it, that's the date studin. L'chora, he'd say by a tree also. If you only use the side of the yaseh,
then that would be a tzidate studin, but that's not a very, you know, maybe not a common use.
So if you had a saddle with a hook and attached to the hook, you had bags hanging down, those bags would still be tzidate studin?
So the bags would be tzidate studin. So the bags on the hot dogs on the animal.
Why do you have to make up this crazy case of the magyam? Why can't you just say he's talking about that kind of case?
Well, the lashon of what's the lashon here? Kunche dover acher munach al tzida v'hu mishtamish. Well, it sounds like there's only one dover. There's a dover which is on the side of the animal, and you're mishtamish in that dover. That's why the which really comes from the Shakamatari and the Gemara there. So that's why it seems like we have a disconnect. Over here we say the one thing on the side is tzidit tzadim, but by Elam we said only if there are two objects, the second object is tzidit tzadim. Big disconnect. So the Magen Avraham, the Mishabura answer, they say no, it depends. If you're using the top of the thing on its side, that's studim. But the side of the thing on its side, even though it's only one object, is tzidei studim. And that's the pshara they make in Lachor. They would say the same thing for an Elon. If I had something on an Elon, like I had, I don't know, a bag hanging on an Elon, and I put something in or out of the bag, that would be studim. But if I just used the side of that bag in some strange way, that would be tzidei studim. So you don't need a second object to be tzidei tzadim. The tzad of the first object is also tzidei tzadim. What? L'chora, yeah. I'm not sure what the case would be.
Wait, so why isn't the saddle bag the saddle on top, and then the saddle, the bags that are on the side of the saddle? That's
well, I don't think saddle bags hang on the saddle. I think it's all one contraption on the animal. But
if I put a thing across that's on top of the man, and the sides of it, there are bags.
Well,
so that's considered the side, or?
No, if the bags are separate things that are hooked onto some contraption on the side of the animal, then the bags would be tzidei tzadim.
Right.
But if it's all one contraption, then they would all be tzadim.
But it's the side of the tzadim, no? Well, that's not everything.
What? If I put something in the bag, I'm using the inside of the top of the tzadim.
If
it's all one kli, then it's all one tzadim.
Shouldn't the ladder be mutter?
What?
Shouldn't the ladder be mutter against her hole sticking out of the chasing?
You see, does the ladder lean on the side of the yaseid or the top of the yaseid? Right, so it could be that, again, I'm not sure. I would be much more comfortable if the ladder was on top of the yaseid, not just on the side of the yaseid, personally climbing it. I don't know how the yaseidus works, but I would assume that with the yaseid sticking out of your tree, you don't just lean your ladder beneath the side of the yaseid. Then as soon as you climb, the whole thing will fall. And you'll
a little bit of angle, but if you have like a sphere, you're leaning a little bit, you're not on the top here.
So Esher, that in a Hanami, if you had some special kind of different kind of yaseid, where the ladder is only using the side of the yaseid, then that would be tzidei tzadim. But I think normally, it would be unsafe to have your ladder just lean on the side of the yaseid. The ladder has to hang on the top of the yaseid to be safe, I think. The Lama Tess Malacha book, no one actually goes into this that I've seen in the modern day books, really analyzed it. I guess this is not like a popular topic. Just to continue a little, let's see some differences between behemoths, and there's one factor that differentiates a behemoth from an elon, which is the Allah allows people made a year should tzar bali chayim. If you climb up, then no matter what you go down, there's no knas to tzar bali chayim to sit on the animal all Shabbos long. So tzar bali chayim is different. Mitams that portin masur shel leha kates that osa mafiz rosh adach la masur misakul tzar acher unof me elon. Likewise, even though we learn that taking something off a tree is also a shemush, you're allowed to take a burden off an animal, so it's only a burden, not like a tiny, you know, a needle or something, but a real burden, not one piece of paper, but a whole load of wheat or whatever, you're allowed to take off the animal on Shabbos, because it's tzar bali chayim to leave it there all Shabbos. However, what you should do is, you should do it in an abnormal way, because since really you're not allowed to take something off the animal, it's just a head from tzar bali chayim, you should try to minimize it, and therefore instead of taking it off with your hands, you should put your head under the side and try to like move it a little till it gets loses its balance and then falls off the mema. But the post can explain this is only like if you can, meaning if you can do it, tell someone that's not, then you should. It minimizes any shash of mutzah, it minimizes any shash of shimush. But if, let's say, it's a glass, and you need to take it off carefully, then you can even take it off carefully. Mutzah, shimush, both things. It's mutzah to do mamasha, total of shimush, even if it's shimush and mutzah, to avoid tzar bali chayim. But if you can, then even if it's not mutzah, you should try to push it off with your head and shoulders, and do it in an abnormal way to minimize the Isser of Shemesh Bali Chayim. Mukta is lomal lomori. Even if it is mukta, if you need to, you can take it off your hands. And even if it's not mukta, if you don't need to use your hands, you should use your head. The Ramah just adds, also leishav al karon she'en yehuda manhigo v'shabbos mishum shevishtam shevheima gam shlo yachdov zbora. There are some people who want to be matur, sitting in a carriage which a guy is driving on Shabbos. Say, look, the guy is driving it. There's also tchum issues that come up here, which we won't go into here. But even inside the tchum, the guy is driving, the guy is using the animal, I'm just sitting here. So I'm not using the animal, the guy is. So the Ramah says, no, you're wrong for two reasons. Number one, by sitting in the carriage, you're using the animal, which is, the question is exactly, why can't we call the carriage Sidei Tzadim? So the Mishnah Berurah at least says, because the carriage is all one contraption, so it's all sudden. Even though you have many pieces, but it's all one carriage. Everyone knows you buy the carriage, it's a carriage, it's all one kli. So it's all one big carriage, that's considered studim. So you're sitting on the studim and the animal is...
You're sitting on it, as opposed to like using the side of it.
Right, the chorah, you could lean on the carriage.
Right.
So that's studim, although that wouldn't get you anywhere. That wouldn't transport you. You can. He says even if there's like a sideboard or whatever, like they used to have those fins on the stands in the 50s on the side of the carriage, that's still like CD sudden. It's all one big sudden. It's one big carriage. I don't care if it's what part of it is. So, and also as the Ramah says, because you yourself, meaning number one, you're saying I'm not using the animal. I'm just using the carriage. That's sudden. And also he says because look, the chashash actually applies. You might come to, and I think what Ramah here means is that don't say the guy's using the animal. You're also using the animal and wanting it to pull you and move. So you yourself, besides like using studim, you're also really using the animal. Mechshash exists that you might pick a zmora because sometimes the passengers also have to help or want to help or get impatient and driving the carriage. So the maisa, that is usher. I think that's all we have to say for the issue of kotzer. The next week we'll briefly deal with Ma'amer, which is a very, very short inyan, and we'll go on to Dash, which is a much more meaty inyan. The Ma'amer Makor shouldn't take that long. It's a very small inyan, probably due between now and the end of Seder. Just one brief around the Parsha. The beginning of Parsha Kisavo says, "Elo avarti mitzvasecha v'lo shachachti." We know there's a big dion, a lot of alumnus that we discussed last year, about if I already said, "Elo avarti mitzvasecha." Why didn't he say Lo Shachachti? Well, Vart is a Sefer, so Mestama Lo Shachachti. So they say in the name of the Sfas Emes, a very beautiful Vart, says, and you can see it's a little Hasidish, but some, almost anti-Misnagdish, but sometimes the Hasidim are right. He says, well, Vart is a Sefer, I was Nizar in every sip cotton of the Mishnah Brewer, and I did everything Kedasu Kedin. But sometimes you can be Nizar to do everything Kedasu Kedin, but forget what it's all about. That is about what it's Hashem and spiritual experience and coming close to Hashem and a mitzvah. You get so caught up in the details, making sure you're okay, you forget the ultimate purpose. Said, well, Bakhtus of Secha, I was mocked in all the details, right? Like any misnagdic would approve, but Lo Shachachti also didn't forget that this is ultimately all about relating to Hashem, that I brought Hashem into the picture as well. This could be maybe Alderich Rush. We discussed Alderich Halacha last year. The famous Kasha they asked on Rashi, who's really just quoting a Sefri, he says, Lo shachachti mil varechecha. I didn't forget to make the bracha, shech shem shos e divanu, lahapash shumas or maestros. Everyone asked, what do you mean? Bracha is only drabbanan. Why would the Torah be telling us to make a bracha? So the answer, at least the Derech Drush, the Sfas Emes would say, and maybe he got it, it doesn't make Shmua, maybe he got it from this Rashi, that the Ritva tells him, Sachem Dav Zayin, I know this is controversial, but the Ritva tells us, he's a Rishon, Sachem Dav Zayin, why rechazam attacking a bracha for the mitzvah? To give you in the right mindset of kavana before you do the mitzvah, to make sure to focus your kavana. So Rashi says, "Well, shachachti milrechalel, loved after the bracha, but I didn't forget the yisod of having kavana in the mitzvah, and thinking about Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kishanu Mitzvosam, the spiritual aspect of the mitzvah, while I was making sure to be nizer in all of the technical details." Shabbat shalom.
Probably
give out Meir Mekomos
on Dash next week.
What? I'll give out Meir Mekomos on Dash the Mincha Sunday.
Good.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Again, if you want to get a head start on Dash, there's just a similar Dash. So
you can just start at the beginning. You know, there's no rocket science.
I don't understand what you're saying about the size of the sun.